the sound of drumming must be the victory coming. Pumped up and full of running, victory the brave. Blue, white and silver fly and strike like a flash of lightning. Revved up and full of fighting, victory the brave. And in the heat of battle, stand up and show no fear. Proud and courageous, marching on to victory.
Right, boys, great to catch up with Ian Robson. G'day, Ian.
Kevin, those words are what we want to see from the Socceroos tonight. Stand up in the heat of battle, marching on to victory. It's all about the Socceroos today. We'll talk about the victory, of course. But tonight, as the Herald Sun says, as everyone's saying, let's get behind Ange. I've stood strong with Ange, Kevin.
In Ange we trust.
In Ange we trust, I said.
Let's hope it finishes that way.
I don't know what Mike Sheehan was watching on Saturday morning, but I know what I was watching. It was an outstanding performance by the Socceroos away from home. And it's nearly 700 days since we started this journey. It's the
884 days.
There you go. It's the 22nd tie, the longest. If you did the kilometres, it would be ridiculous. They'd all be platinum frequent flyers. But it comes down to 90 minutes tonight. Maybe 120 minutes. It might be 120 minutes plus penalties. Who knows? But it's come down to this, and I just hope that literally Australia stands up in the stadium, in their land rooms, in the pubs and clubs around Australia, wherever they are, the bars and cafes, to get behind this national team, because this is a moment to live for.
Well, I said today in my take, it's been a never-ending story, this campaign for the Socceroos to qualify for the World Cup in Russia, and that also Timmy Cahill has got us through to this last hurrah with heroics against Syria. So can we say to Timmy, can you give us one last miracle performance tonight?
I think he can, and I think it, more importantly, and what something that Ange just preached through all of this, and we saw it in Honduras, the quality of the squad. You know, for me, the real hero in Honduras on Saturday was Mile Jednak. His leadership, I don't know if you saw the stats pre-game of the performance of the team.
Yes. You know, when he's in, we win.
Correct. Well, not just, but the way we play as well. Fouls conceded, shots on goal conceded, shots taken. He is a real hidden hero in right in the engine room of that team. He's sort of almost like a Greg Williams, right in amongst it in the heavy traffic. And to get through 90 minutes, Kevin, he hadn't played 90 minutes in 6 months or more, and to do it in those conditions over there shows you just how much the shirt, the badge, the country means to him. And we've got to do what we can do as fans and get behind the team tonight. But Tim in Mele, you know, Matty Ryan in goal, the defence. Let's see what happens with Matt Leckie, with Robbie Cruz and Mark Milligan, who trained all week here in Melbourne, have gone up and joined the squad. But everyone's fit and healthy. And the only real distraction seems to have been a father and a son with a drone yesterday. So if the Honduran manager wants to be distracted by that, good luck to him, because there's 90 minutes of footy and it comes to this.
I said also in my take today that as for Ange, despite what people say tonight, results will have a lasting effect on his legacy as coach of the Socceroos. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Of course. And Ange will be the first to say it's a results business, and this will be the ultimate result. And what happens tomorrow morning, Kevin, who knows? And let's not get ahead of ourselves in that sense, because it's all about tonight's match. And, you know, Ange has been pilloried, criticised, lauded, congratulated. Every possible word in that journey of, what, 800-odd days that you've spoken about has described the media's perspective and engagement with Ange. But if the team get the job done tonight, he's a hero. He's a hero. And again, to put in context, and we watched it this morning, you know, Ireland getting smashed by Denmark 5-1, Italy losing, and I know Mike doesn't think nil-all draws are thrilling and entertaining and enthralling, but Italy and Sweden yesterday, the context of that match, the heroics of the Swedish defence, and then for a country like Italy to miss out after 60 years in a row, you know, Netherlands have missed out. Chile's missed out. I mean, the list of countries that haven't got there in some respects is almost as impressive as those that have. But it just goes to show what a prize this is.
Well, Mike Sheehan said that, you know, if you play a game and no one scores, it can't be good.
Well, I thought Daniel Garb summed it up best. He said, well, Mike Sheehan commentating on world football
it's
is
only
like,
an opinion, though.
Is like me commentating on Russian or Romanian politics. Of course, it's only an opinion.
It's an opinion.
It's and that's fine. But as Simon Hill then said, well, you might as well ring me on the Monday morning after the AFL Grand Final and ask for my opinion on that because I didn't watch and I don't like it. So you sort of know what you're going to get before you start. Anyway, I had a crack at Mike privately about that. That's fine. I think he's better than that, but we all move on. As you say, opinions are everywhere.
Now, just explain to our listeners what's got to happen. We get a lot of people sending through results and how it's going to pan out with away goals. Can you just explain to our listeners the situation facing the Socceroos tonight?
It's as pure and simple as this. If they score any goal, if they score one goal, if they score two goals, we've got to score one more. It's as simple as that. So if they happen to pinch a goal early, late, it wouldn't matter. 2-1 gets us through. 3-2 gets us through. 4-3 gets us through. Once you get into penalties, it's a different kettle of fish completely. But if we keep a clean sheet and score one goal, we win the game. If they score a goal, we've got to score one more than them. So 2-1. If they score two, we've got to score one more than them. So I would think that Honduras would be thinking that they will try and absorb. They'll know we're going to come at them, and Ange has already declared that in his post-match comments in Honduras before they jumped on that that long flight home 4 hours after the game, that we've got fresh legs, we've got energy, we're home, we're going to come at them, and let's see if they can keep up with us. I would think that they'll probably sit back, look for maybe a goal on the counter, against the run of play.
They're a Tommy Hafey long kicking side,
I noticed. That
Honduras
type of thing, yeah. They'll be route one all the way from the goalkeeper. They won't be playing out from the back. They'll be looking for route one stuff to try and be able to reset their defence. And then if that doesn't work, push for extra time and then push for a lottery, which is called penalties. Mm. And that in itself becomes a legitimate tactic, given that there was no tomorrow after this game. It's either you're going to Russia or you're going home. And as they say...
What does it mean to the A-League if, in fact, if we don't qualify?
Well, I'm only going to focus on the positive because you and I can deal with that question next week if that indeed is okay. What happens. And I like Timmy Cahill's response on that the other day when he said to the journalist, what happens if you lose? And Tim says, well, that's the difference between you and me, mate. I only deal in the positives. Yes.
We can understand him saying that, but as a talking point, people would be saying, what's the ramifications of us not making it through to the World Cup?
And I get that. I get people inevitably want to be drawn to the glass half empty component of it. I get that. But for those of that are closest to it, right now, we're not allowing ourselves to have those thoughts of negativity. The game will go on and the game will continue to grow. But there's no denying that the getting to our fourth World Cup in a row would again, of course, give another surge of momentum for the national team. We've got the Matildas here next week playing games against China, and we know how great and how well the girls are going. As I say, if you look at where the Matildas are ranked and the Opals in basketball, they're arguably our best international sporting teams, just purely on rankings, in those two big global sports of basketball and football. So it's a massive night for the country. I'm just pleased to hear all forms of sporting commentators, including Ralphie, God bless him, and even Mike. The fact that Mike's talking about it shows that it's on the radar. And I think that shows also the rising tide of awareness of football and just what this means to us.
Have we got anyone else who can possibly score apart from Tim Cahill, though?
Tommy Urich can score. Matthew Leckie can score. Robbie Cruz can score. Luongo can score. Yednak from the penalty spot if needed, or a set piece. Sainsbury from a set piece. I think there's many options. And I just think the purity of the surface and the environment tonight is going to have us wound up to do what we need to do. There's no denying, a bit like Ireland this morning, who sadly scored the goal early and then ended up getting overrun by Denmark. I think the ambition would be to score a goal early, probably in the first 10 or 15 minutes, to really set a tone and have them on their haunches, because then potentially we could go 2 or 3 nil up.
We were talking this morning, you may have heard it coming in, about Indigenous players playing soccer. Because of the international rules game, there was a comment made, you know, how a lot of the Indigenous boys were able to adjust to the round ball game. I'm not quite certain how strong soccer is up north. I know there's a lot of football heroes for the soccer, young Indigenous players to follow. We had a caller before the 10 o'clock news saying that it's costly sport, soccer, and up to $1,600 for his kid to actually play soccer. And he thought that was one of the drawbacks of getting Indigenous families involved, was the cost of having your son play soccer. Is there a pathway, or is there academies? Is there scholarships for Indigenous soccer players?
There are certainly scholarships for families in challenged economic circumstances, and that applies here in Melbourne as much as it does throughout, the rest of Australia. I was speaking with Bruce Cater, who's the CEO of Football Northern Territory, and he was telling me how, again, the surge of participation is being reflected in the Northern Territory, in the far north, and it's certainly being reflected with the number of Indigenous boys playing the game. I've got no doubt that if a round ball, not an oval ball, had been dropped at the feet of Cyril Rioli at the age of 6 or even at 16, he'd be in the Socceroos. I've got no doubt.
Well, we've had callers and messages say, you know, that he's got, you know, he'd be like a Lionel Messi, or
without question,
he'd be like a Maradona because without of question. The reflexes and speed, anticipation.
Correct. His ability to find space, you know, where there's none at all. I've got absolutely no doubt, and you could say a similar thing.
So why hasn't it happened in the four? We're trying to think of a list of Indigenous players who have maybe even played at, you know, maybe at the highest level, you know, maybe even through A-League. Is there many Indigenous players in A-League?
Not that many that come to mind immediately. I mean, again, I think part of this is a reflection that as long as football's been around the world game for a long, long time, but it hasn't necessarily had the presence in some of those far-flung and remote communities where rugby league and AFL, if you think about far west...
They've got heroes in rugby league too, haven't they?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you think about far western New South Wales and far north Queensland, some of the rugby league boys, you think about the modern-day guys like GI, or even that photo at the weekend of Kirtley Beall with Prince William in the dressing rooms in Cardiff. They've got some genuine, iconic Indigenous players on both the male and the female side. I think Nova Peris from a hockey background, athletics background, and Nova's a great Australian. Obviously the Longs, it's all been about where sports have been very, very traditional. I think that tide's turning a little bit, but again, you'd only need to take one to inspire a generation, and we're certainly seeing that with African-born players now, Kevin. You know, and at the weekend, you know, with Jason Garrier, with Kenny Archu, with Tommy Deng, we're continuing to see the changing face of Australia. Because all of those boys qualify to play for the Socceroos.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Ian Robson, Melbourne Victory CEO. If you're barrack for Victory, you may like to give a call. I haven't won a game so far this season. Ask Ian to explain that. 9429 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, 0433 98 1116. Welcome back. Ian Robson has joined us, Melbourne Victory CEO. What happened to Melbourne Victory? Yet to win a game this year?
I think everyone who was at the game or watched it will know it wasn't necessarily the prettiest game on Saturday night. We come off the 1-1 draw against the Wanderers on the Monday. Short turnaround, lost Costa and Jimmy Troisi, got back Bess and Broxy. Bess scored, and I think it was about the 82nd or 83rd minute. So you think, okay, boys, you know, we've just got to do what we need to do here. One error at the back late, about the 88th minute, and Brisbane were good enough to find a way.
It was a pretty easy goal they got in the end, wasn't it?
Well,
it seemed to be space everywhere.
What was easy was obviously finally the tap in, which was Brett Holman, because he's a yard out, and nothing would have been harder to miss than where he was from. But there was just a breakdown fundamentally in terms of whether we were set deep at the top of the box or whether we had any cover back, you know, along the byline, which is where the threat was always going to come from. So, look, an error late, lapse in concentration, and that's the game. It costs you, and that's what football's like. One mistake, one goal, and suddenly it's one all. And we walk away really disappointed, really disappointed. We thought that those 3 points were there for the taking, but you got to let it go and you got to move on. So Millsy joins James in camp this week. Costa's away in Peru with the Kiwis. Young Christian Theo Harris was a bright spot against Brisbane, who got back from his Young Socceroos duty and came on for about 10 or 15 minutes. In fact, put the cross in that Best scored from. So we've now got a really interesting and little period now with 3 away games, and the next 2 are compelling in that we play Perth. In fact, it's a double header with our W League team on in Perth on Sunday. So our girls and boys play Perth on Sunday night. And then the girls come home because their next home game's here in Melbourne next Friday, and the boys go straight to Newcastle because we play in Newcastle on the Thursday. The Supercar final weekend is on in Newcastle that weekend.
So on top, by the way, Ernie's on top.
Ernie is on top.
Well, I keep telling you about Ernie.
Well, you do.
He dropped off the bandwagon. I stayed on the bandwagon.
No, well, you've stayed on that bandwagon, and somewhere you're going to bring out your Ernie Merrick badge, which is great. But well, they play Sydney FC this weekend, so that'll be a top of the table clash, a cracking game for them. But I'm sure Ernie
they
is
got bowled over
by Central Coast. Central Coast were very good, very good. We obviously played Central Coast up there and got a two-all draw, and they were well. It's still this early stage of the season where you know you only got to win a couple of games, and we could go from eighth to third kind of thing. That's the way the table sits. No one's really broken away, unlike previous years. So we know how important next. So we go away to Perth, away to Newcastle, away to Wellington, and then we come back and play Adelaide's our next home game. But that's 3 weeks away. So. We know we've got some hard work in front of us. It's not a bad thing, I think, that the team's on the road and not a bad thing that they're literally going to be on the road, going from Perth to Newcastle direct, and we'll get all the good boys back. But I don't think we get Costa back from Peru until Saturday, so I don't know that he'll be able to take any real role in Perth on Sunday. But it is what it is, Kevin, and we'll now knuckle down. We know we've got a lot of hard work in front of us, and we're not frightened of that.
Well, Frankie and East Killer's got a question. G'day, Frankie.
G'day. How are you, KB?
Good, Frank.
Hey, Frankie, yeah. How are you?
Okay, mate. One question. When are you going to get rid of Musket?
Frankie.
What don't you like about Kevin Musket, Frank?
Right, 6 games, you haven't won a game. His system's not working. We're not scoring goals.
Yeah, got your radio on in the background too, Frank, so you might hear that every now and then.
Frankie, I love your passion for victory, but we're going to agree to disagree on this one.
When are you going to get rid of Kevin Musket? That was a pretty straightforward question.
That was a straight question. And
it's a straight shooter, Frank.
No, I love his passion. I love his passion. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
Can you, SMS is saying, can you explain to us why that kid playing in under 12, it might cost $1,600? You have said something before about some of these junior clubs are aligned to a senior club.
Well, all of us have to pay to play sport. So whether it's my daughter playing netball or my son playing Aussie rules or my kid at junior aths, we all have to pay.
Yes.
So that's a point of comparison.
Range from $50 to $100.
Well, yeah. And a lot more than that. Where football, soccer comes in is that a lot of the clubs are aligned to or a part of a senior club that is playing in the NPL. So whether it's a Bentley Greens, whether it's Moreland Zebras, whether it's Heidelberg, whether it's Port Melbourne, they've got teams in the NPL and they pay their players. And there is no doubt that part of the mechanic of funding that is the overall economy of the club that sees juniors paying a level of registration fees, which it can be as much as $2,000, that sees coaching and a technical director employed and all those sorts of things that cost. But if you just lined up the dollars against some of the other sports, it certainly seems expensive. And there's a challenge there that I think ultimately the FFA, working with the member federations, need to almost re-engineer the economy of some of these clubs to break it down. There are scholarships available. And Kevin, both ourselves and City, we've got 4 teams playing in the NPL. The top 2 teams don't pay, but our bottom 2 teams do pay. We don't charge $2,000, but they pay, and we provide a level of service that we believe is good value for money in that context. So everyone's doing it. The 2 Sydney clubs, Wanderers and Sydney FC, I think charge $2,500 for their boys, and they're obviously getting
from what
access.
Age group is this?
Under 14s, above. Under 14s up. So next year, Victory and City will have a senior team, an under 20s, an under 18s, and under 15s participating in the NPL. And that's where the growing point of difference between the A-League clubs and, say, the AFL clubs. We've got 3 teams competing in the summer in national competitions, the men's, the women's, and the youth. And then in the winter, we've got 4 teams. So there's not too many weekends a year where there isn't a Victory shirt somewhere on a competitive sporting field, which brings of itself a big resource challenge.
Scotty's in Craigieburn. He's got a comment on Kevin Musket. Go, Scotty.
Hey, KB. How are you, Robbo?
Hey, Scotty. How are you doing?
Hey, great.
Good boy.
A win would be good, but we'll get there.
Of course we will.
Could you please give Muskie a bit of advice?
Sure.
All Melbourne Victory fans have got for him. He's got 3 subs. Bloody use them, mate. We're getting sick of watching 1 sub a game, and the guy, young kid, gets 10 minutes. Give him half an hour, mate. Give the kids a chance, because we're going to end up going nowhere. All we're going to end up doing is bringing in recycled players like we've been doing lately, and it's not working for us. Play the bloody kids.
Well,
we've heard that lots of times in sport, don't we? Play the bloody kids.
Well, we certainly have played our kids in the past, and if you look at Steph Nigro at left back on Saturday night, Tommy Deng at centre back, both the kids out wide, Joy Ingham's young. Mitch Osman didn't play.
Does he make enough substitutions,
well,
though?
That's always, ultimately, that's going to be a match-by-match assessment as to how players are going and whether or not, in that instance, we had Cam McGilp, Pierce Waring, Josh Hope on the bench. Christian Theo Harris did come on, a young kid, and only got 15 minutes. Look, they're decisions that a manager makes in literally the heat of the battle, and I understand the passion that Scott's saying, because we've always been a believer of giving kids opportunities. I mean, go back a year, we gave a really exciting kid called Seb Pasquale an opportunity and,
made him $1 million.
a big hand came in over the top called Ajax, and he's over in Holland. So we're not fearful of playing the kids, that's for sure.
Robbo, have you got any nerves at all about tonight? Are you supremely confident the Socceroos beat Honduras and we're off to the World Cup, or are you just wavering a little bit?
No, I'm.
I need to know your confidence level.
My confidence levels have been strong throughout. I'm a card-carrying, in Ange we trust man, and when we sit down, Oscar and I tonight on the couch and watch it, I'm sure there'll be tingles of anticipation, but I'm excited. This is one of those moments in Australian sporting history. I'm old enough to go back and remember waking up and a bloke called John Radler said from the US, "Stand up, Australia, stand up," when a boat won a race, and that galvanised the nation. Well, this football team can galvanise the nation too. The modern Australia can be galvanised by the Socceroos. I'm excited, and I want the boys to get the result tonight, because the country deserves it, the game deserves it, and this team and Ange deserves it.
Ian, always great to catch up, and we'll speak soon.